Hi, Donna. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
You can talk now, right?
Now that you've taken all my confidence away.
Oh, I did. Oh, please. You're fine.
Compared me to a train wreck.
Oh, I didn't compare you to a train wreck. I mean,
the show to a train wreck.
We hadn't even started the thing yet.
I know. That's right. So, no, I'm fine. Happy Labor Day.
Happy Labor Day to you. And here we are working on it.
I know. Do you know who's sitting behind me?
Yeah, I know that guy over there.
I'm so excited.
Yeah.
I don't know whether I'm more excited to be with you or with him. It's like...
Well, this is a cool thing we're going to be doing every Monday over here.
I know, I'm excited.
Yeah.
People be eating lunch and learning about music.
Sure.
Hearing a bunch of
or
cool
slacking,
people.
Whatever it is that they do, you know.
Playing hooky.
Yeah, there's a lot of that going on today. But every Monday from noon to one or so, it's the Memphis Music Monday thing.
Right, MMM.
Yeah,
you can remember that.
Absolutely. You did this in other places, and
I did.
And now it's here at Radio Memphis, and we're glad to have it.
I've been building up for this.
You've been building up for this. Well, I'll try not to let you down.
Didn't even have to twist your arm too hard.
No, it's always good because we here at Radio Memphis, of course, we feature mostly music from this area.
Mm-hmm.
And we get a chance to anytime any of these artists want to come in and sit with us, it's a cool thing.
It is. And people are beating down my door already saying, I want to be on Radio Memphis, so I'm excited.
That's great. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
Yeah. We haven't run anybody off, so.
No, that's good.
That's a good thing. This gentleman down here at the end of the table is somebody who's been a longtime friend of this station, too.
Yeah. Eric Hughes. Woo-woo.
Congratulations on the first Memphis Music Monday.
See, I told you I wanted somebody really good for the premiere show. You didn't know that you were a celebrity, did you?
The world famous Eric Hughes.
Yeah. Right. From now on, it goes downhill.
No.
This is the best.
No, I'm honored to be on your first episode.
Well,
that's
I'm
great.
Honored to have you.
Thank
here.
You.
That is so cool. I'm a blues fan, and I've been loving your music forever. Even though I know you do some other things.
Yeah, I stray with the songwriting. I let the songs go different directions. I think wisely. I don't know. But, mostly the skeleton and the muscles is blues, you know.
I know. I think sometimes you find yourself falling in love with a song or creating a song, and it has a different sound, and you go, well, that's not really blues. But, in fact, most of what I write is not blues. Most of what you write, is it blues or?
It is, or it's blues-based.
Blues-based.
You know, about one out of five songs will stray out a little bit, but... these days, blues is so undefined, it defies categorization so much nowadays. So.
Yeah, a lot of guys are putting out records under the Roots label, or not label, but in that box, or Americana is another one. Yeah, and you've done a little bit of that yourself.
Yeah.
Well, Meet Me in Memphis has a lot of that in there.
Yeah, there's only two straight-up blues songs on there. The rest are kind of bluesicano or Americana or whatever rootsy, whatever you want to call it.
And that's, I'm excited about Meet Me in Memphis. That's you came out, that was it last October?
Yeah, October.
And already sold like 3,000 copies.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And it's doing really well, and Living Blues chart, a bunch of different places, isn't it?
Yeah, we charted, and that was a milestone. That was a thrill. Yeah. And, you know, when you play that song, as much as the locals rip on Beale Street, you play Meet Me in Memphis live for a room full of visitors who have busted their butt through train stations and airports and
saved forever
and spent all this money, and they feel that vibe, and you play a song that kind of condenses it all down to them. Shoot, they're gonna buy one of those albums.
You know, we used to do that. Put on my blue suede shoes, that one. And a lot of people in Memphis didn't really like it. You played at Graceland. People are like...
Oh, Walking in Memphis? Mark
in Memphis, yeah. Because
I can't
they,
stand that song.
Yeah, you never hear that song.
Most people in Memphis
deal.
Don't really like it.
No.
But you played in Graceland because they've saved for many years to get there. They want to hear it. So I think sometimes people appreciate Memphis music and Memphis a lot more than Memphians do. And that's a shame.
Oh, absolutely. Well, it's not really anybody's fault. I mean, the people that live in Paris, they drive past Eiffel Tower every day, and they're like, Eiffel Tower. And then if you come visit, you know, oh, we got to go to the Eiffel Tower. So it's familiarity.
It is.
You know.
Yeah. Well, I know that that one's doing really well. And I also saw you were, like, number one in Reverb Nation now and have been for...
Yeah, Reverb's a useful site. I think we're number one locally and number one regionally. And then there's another site platform called Number One Music.
Yes, and you hear a lot about it now, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're number one at it on their charts now, too. So it's kind of, I don't know.
So it's all downhill from there, too?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm peaking right now. This is
it. You're on number one today, and you're number one
yep.
on that.
Now starts the decline.
That's right. That's right.
And then it's back into the studio and start all over again, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the Tennessee Music Awards, I know, or I think, is it October the 8th? They're going to...
I think so.
What category are you nominated for there?
Best Blues Band. And so is Little Boys Blue and Ghost Town.
Wow.
So yeah, that's pretty... I mean, it's already a giant honor and achievement. So
absolutely.
If I lose to Ghost Town or Little Boys Blue, that'll be like saying you got your butt kicked by Bruce Lee.
Right.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you know.
Well, yeah,
you know, at least that's you were hilarious. In the fight.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's a big honor.
Those
a surprise,
are,
too.
Yeah.
It's cool.
To be appreciated, you know, by your peers and something like the Tennessee Music Awards, that's a big deal. Is this the first time you've been nominated?
Mm-hmm.
This is a good year for you.
Yeah. Yeah. It's,
and you got to get a passport.
I had a passport, but it didn't have any stamps on it.
Oh,
so
okay.
When that dude at Customs put that stamp on there, I was like, all right, finally.
And tell us why you needed a passport. Where'd you just go?
Went to Germany, to the northwest part of Germany, near Bremen area. And there's a German label near Bremen called... It's a German label, but it's American music. It's called Blind Lemon.
Blind Lemon, right.
And I was able to go over there and do a bunch of shows that Thomas with Blind Lemon put together for me. And then in the daytime, recorded an album in his studio, which was an incredible studio.
How many songs?
Oh, about 13, but it's mostly just the stuff I do solo acoustic at shows,
right.
Solo shows.
Right.
And I'd never had a solo acoustic CD to sell at shows. And people would come into solo shows and say, hey, which one of these six CDs has what you're doing now? And I would always have to say, none of them.
None of them.
So this, you know, it was it was beneficial twofold, threefold.
I was going to ask if you got a chance to play over there, but you did in a studio. Yeah. Did you take your guitar over?
I took one of them over.
I bet that's a joy traveling with that thing, huh?
I had Mick Colasa had let me borrow his flight case, which advertised you could drive a truck over it, which I'm sure they did.
Yeah.
At the airport. But it went well. That wasn't that big a deal. Of course, the studio that I recorded at, they had probably 10 guitars that were four times as nice as mine, so I didn't really understand why why I brought one over. But
so do you have that CD to sell yet, or are you waiting for
it? No, it'll come out. They're mixing it and mastering it and all that stuff, and they'll take care of the printing, graphics, duplication, and manufacture, and I won't have to monkey around with any of that stuff.
Be able to make more money to go back again.
Yep.
This could be a new thing for you, a European tour.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, next year I'll be doing, I will return to Germany, but I'll probably do a London,
Amsterdam
yeah. and then Germany. And maybe cut down to Croatia.
Cool.
Split Croatia. It's got a blues festival that.
Oh, yeah.
You'll have a ball. We were just talking about London, Rick and I were, and I went there a few years ago and just loved it. Only time I've ever really, other than Canada, and that's not really, it is out of the country, but, you know, London was awesome. I had 10 days there.
Oh, man.
You're going to have so much fun.
I bet. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
It's a totally different lifestyle.
It certainly seems to be, just in the week I was in Germany, everyone drives really fast but really well.
Yes.
And they don't
Is
listen
that
to
not amazing?
That's, yeah, it's a trip.
You know you're not in Memphis.
And they don't jam out the radio when they're driving. It's all about some driving. They may be going 100 miles an hour, but everyone knows how to drive and uses signals and rules and courtesy. I never saw one wreck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not a fender bender. And we were in several cities, never saw a wreck.
How neat. They were probably courteous to each other, too. Imagine that.
I don't know. You've ever been cussed out in German? That's,
no,
you know.
I yeah. can imagine. When they talk love talk in a movie, it sounds really scary. German is a scary, scary language for me, anyway. And I hear it's beautiful there, so.
Oh, it is absolutely gorgeous. But, yeah. The food takes a little getting used to, you know. It is meat and potatoes, but it's not your standard fare that you're used to here.
Right.
Last time I was over there, we went to a restaurant that had, it was like a fast food thing, and they had like small, medium, large, and American.
Uh-huh. Get out of here.
Yeah.
It's probably true.
They're used to us eating a lot.
When we were in London, we saw the meat, and everything was spotted something meat, spotted. It had all these, I guess they're little fat circles or whatever, but hanging in the windows, and you would go in and they would cut up whatever you wanted, and you know, you'd eat outside or something. They'd have like a couple of tables, but usually you ate outside, you know, on the cobblestone. But it was real different, but it was really nice. And when you got a sandwich, my daughter and I thought we would save money and share a sandwich. It's like
it's you need really, like four or five more of those.
I know I lost, I think, maybe like 10 pounds in 10 days because
yeah,
and you walk everywhere too, you know.
You do, yeah. Well, that's good. I know you're going to have fun. I've been kind of looking around trying to keep up with what all you're doing in Memphis. I had no idea. Do you sleep?
Sometimes, yeah.
You just play everywhere.
I try to sleep two or three times a week.
Whether you need it or not.
Yeah. And
I get 3 or 4 hours a night if I'm lucky, so I that's why I have these bags. But yeah, but you're playing. Where are you playing? You're playing at
doing Rum Boogie every Monday and every Thursday.
Yeah,
still.
That's a regular two.
So you're there tonight, then, right?
Yep, I'll head out from here and go over there and load in and set up.
Do they have good
there? Beale Street's got food is not really what you go to Beale Street for.
Oh, it's, I know.
You know, Rum Boogie is a rarity.
I was trying to think I could talk Doc into going if there was food.
Rum Boogie food is a rarity in that they have good gumbo and catfish. And
the gumbo is to die for over there, yeah.
Right.
But, man, it's for drinking and listening to music.
I know.
That's what Beale Street's for.
Yeah, it is.
And there's
it
a lot of both.
Well, you get something to eat, of course. It's, you know, good food and everything, but...
You played Alfred's too?
Yep, doing some work at Alfred's solo.
Acoustic? Okay, yeah. Good.
And then that's about it right now for Beale Street other than hard rock and working on a tin roof that has to be confirmed.
Yeah. We did a video there not too long ago. I saw that you were at, I guess it's the new Sleep Out Louie's. With Guy Venable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's right across
I thought,
second.
What a pair.
Oh, we've
Guy's awesome.
Together
for a
year. It is, he's a.
But I couldn't imagine what that would be like, but I bet it was cool.
Yeah, we started playing together in about 03 or 04, and stuff that not many people are doing, jug band stuff.
Right, right.
Because when I play guitar or resonator, he can play bass, but then when he can also play guitar, and it frees me up to do jug, spoon, washboard, kazoo, harmonica, and we
Did
do a lot.
Did you say kazoo?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yay.
He called me Dr. Kazoo.
Oh, no.
But yeah, just one or two songs. You can't take no kazoo for more than one or two songs. It's
I know. We had a Graceland performer that used a kazoo all the time and would scare the guests. It was like he'd come up behind you and go woo. So I was like, no, don't do that.
Don't scare the tourists. Yeah,
you know, they're older people, most a lot of them, because they've been saving for.
You're gonna drop into a heart attack.
That's what would crack me up when when the American Queen would come ashore, or when it would dock here, they had an option to come and do a Memphis tour, and a lot of it was mostly because of Graceland. And I would meet the boat at 8 a.m. and jump on their bus, and we'd go around the city while I talked and played for them, standing up there in the bus, and we would end up at Graceland. And
I would see you at 11 a lot, you know, in the diner. Yeah.
And I took such delight in watching them hand an 85-year-old from Switzerland a laptop.
I know.
It's like, here you go. And then and they just look at it like,
what am I supposed to do with this?
I know, I know.
What is this?
It was confusing to me. Oh, yeah. I went to Graceland for the first time. I hadn't seen it in the big part, but in the mansion, and they give you one, and I was going, I forget.
You just push the flag that is from, that is your country's flag.
Or you go past it, and, you know. I'm better than I used to be, but you know, they say these kids that are 4 and 5 know how to do everything, you know. They know how to...
Yeah, give a 4-year-old your phone and see what happens.
Oh, no, it's scary. You might end up calling somebody you don't want to, but... So what have you got coming up? I know you've got the gig tonight. You have any big gigs that are coming up that people can start planning for now? I know you play.
Well, they're all...
they're all big gigs.
No, I didn't mean that. I mean, they're all on my website, erichughesband.com, and I've
got so y'all check that out.
Yeah, you can see where we're playing, what we're up to, what how the shows have been going, mm-hmm. pictures, and fans send in the pictures, and we have a section for fan picks, we call it, you know, because that's half the fun is
absolutely
meeting somebody and having your picture made with them and hearing where they're from, and you know,
that's cool.
It's a lot more fun, makes the show a lot more meaningful and personable when rather than just playing for them, you can kind of become a part of their trip, and they feel like they know somebody here.
I think that's one of the best things, is that bonding and connection between the artist and the fan that makes all the difference, you know. Once they know a little bit, you know, I see people who perform and do are tremendous musicians, but they don't really talk much. They just play, and you can appreciate their talent, but when they tell you stories or talk to you or go over the table and, you know, introduce themselves, it makes all the difference in the world.
It does.
You connect with them.
Yeah. And the song itself as well. A lot of the time having an artist explain who wrote the song, why, and where. It gives you a more meaningful connection with the song itself, not just the performance.
Yeah, I'll never forget the telling of your story of Robert Johnson in Sweet Home Chicago and how that was written.
Yeah. I need that because I do that.
Yeah.
Tell the story.
Oh, it was this old VHS tape that I had of, I think it was Johnny Shines was saying this, that Robert Johnson had gotten on a train and passed out. Apparently back then you had to hide underneath the train while it was still in the yard, but once it got rolling out in the countryside, you'd climb up on top and go to sleep, which is what he did. And he saw the lights of an approaching city as he noticed the train slowing down, and thought, oh, you know, starts riffing, writing this Sweet Home Chicago. Of course, he'd only made it to Memphis because the trains move so slow.
So it should be Sweet Home Memphis.
He got off that train, I think he was in Chicago.
He was surprised.
But just a little, I'm thinking.
But, you know, we got a great song out of it.
Yeah, it's a huge song.
How funny. Yeah. Well, I want to know the story about the song that I love so much. People need to go on your website and see Drink Up. It's so funny. It's got a great video. And,
Yeah, I just pieced that video together with my iPhone and iMovie on my laptop, but it had some good footage from, you know, the recording session itself and clowning, you know, it's a drinking song, so we were just clowning. And the way that song got started is that Lee Oscar had participated in IBC one year as kind of a harmonica mm-hmm. sponsor, and I think mm-hmm. he conducted a harmonica workshop or something. Right. And, you know, Lee Oscar from War, Lowrider, you know, mm-hmm. that guy. And he sat in with us at the Pig on Beale, mm-hmm. and he ended up giving me, later on, he mailed me some of his harmonicas that he had 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 my name, you know, from Lee Oscar to Eric Hughes engraved wow. on them. But he had sent me these minor harps wanting me to expand myself and explore blowing harp in a minor tuned.
Right.
And the scale's just slightly different by a note or two. And I was playing around on that minor harmonica and ended up writing Drink Up.
That's funny.
You never know where a...
Did you have a costume director?
Never know. No, you never know where a song's going to come from.
No, I know.
But that's where Drink Up came from, and I wrote that weird bass line, which I'm sure bass players love it when a guitar player writes a bass line or tries to tell them how to, you know, play the bass, but it just had that silly partying kind of a sound to it.
And, it's a great, great song.
And Leo Goff made it, he perfected it, and... Walter got a hold of it, and I think back then it was Robert Nighthawk and Chris Stevenson laid down the keys, wow. and Doug McMahon on drums. So
you really had a lot of cool musicians.
A lot of inspiring guys right. that have taught me a lot, yeah. too.
I think that's what it's all about. It's about teaching each other. I think that's one reason I love jams and things, because... You have so many people working with each other, and
yeah.
you hear things for the first time, and the way somebody sings or plays something.
Or you never know who's going to show up. You know?
No, and you have to adapt really quickly to how they're playing it, and that takes practice and skill, and I think that's a great way to, you know, to learn a lot of stuff. But I wanted to ask you, too. I know we're on internet radio, and I saw something about Confessing the Blues Network. What is that? With Clive Barker or something?
Cleve.
Is it Cleve Barker?
It's a, you know, it's just a show that he started that several stations pick up.
And it's here?
No, I think he's out of Cullowhee, North Carolina, I think.
Yeah, he's out of North Carolina.
And there are several other stations that pick him up. And he jumped on board when Drink Up album came out. So naturally, when Meet Me in Memphis came out, he was one of the ones that, one of the first out there nationally guys.
Right.
You know, we broke it here. We played it first.
We need to keep
here.
Breaking it here.
Well, he does. Oh, yeah. We keep breaking stuff over here all the time.
Exactly. I know. Hopefully it won't be my head. But.
No. Stop it.
Yeah, we need to keep pushing Meet Me in Memphis. If you haven't heard it, where can people go and listen to it?
Best place, quickest, easiest, is to go to EricHughesBand.com.
Okay.
And from there, there are links to whether Amazon, CD Baby, iTunes, all mm-hmm. that stuff. Whatever your favorite platform is, you can. There's a button for it. Website. Best way though is to come to a show.
That's
and
what I was
we
you.
Can we can play it for you live, then you can buy the album and we can sign
that's
it
right.
That's
right. So you always have those available.
Yep.
And I know you have a great deal, so you actually have 5 CDs now, and are all of those available,
counting the one that Guy Venable and I made, the 6 there.
6. Great. Okay.
And we the more you buy, the cheaper they get. So,
I know. That's a great deal. You were telling me about the pricing.
We tell the tourists that they don't blow your money on it like a Johnny Cash salt and pepper shaker. You know, don't buy the Elvis Presley back scratcher.
That's right.
Wow. Is there such a thing as an Elvis?
No.
I was going to say.
I really want one.
No, but I tell them, you don't want that stuff. You want a CD.
You want a CD. You want to take Memphis home with you.
You can keep listening to
part of our corny spiel, you know.
Hey, if it works, It worked.
That's right.
And a lot of the things, I know you were talking about meeting a lot of different tourists and things at Backbeat Tours. Did that have anything to do with you wanting to go overseas? And
I always had. It's kind of a career milestone, or kind mm-hmm. of a marker in your career. You know, it's part of your timeline, part of your achievements. I wanted to travel overseas ever since I found out from other artists how much they appreciate.
Yeah, they do.
You know, over here, you got people screaming and yelling at the TV.
And how much they pay, how much they appreciate
playing with
you.
Their phone and talking, or they'll come up to the stage and tell you what song they demand you mm-hmm. play. But over there, you feel like you're Bach or somebody. That's or, right. you know, they have bought a ticket in advance. They have come to listen. Mm-hmm. I mean, if their phone's out, it's to take pictures. And, you know, they wait till intermission to go get another drink. They're not talking. They're, of course, when you finish playing, erupts in applause. It's just different.
It is. You feel more appreciated.
Yeah, Jeff Jensen likes to tell the story about, I think, the first time he played over there. He's in a show, and he turns over to one of the guys in the band on stage, and he goes, "I think we're bombing. These people aren't moving. They're not doing anything." And then at the end of the tune, they just go nuts.
Yeah.
And he said they're just being respectful. Mm-hmm. They're not into the whole dancing in their seat type of thing, which is kind of, it's off-putting for a blues musician, of course.
Yeah. It's different. Yeah. But it's incredible. It sort of reminds you, it's a good reminder of why you go to such ridiculous lengths to do what you do.
Exactly. Like,
okay, yeah.
Exactly.
And it also served to give me a renewed respect for the tourist. It's easy to rip on the tourists because they come over here and they got the fanny pack and the Velcro shoes, and they're going looking for the, they want to buy the Elvis right. lunchbox, and all, and they're standing in the middle of the street taking a picture, and you're like, right. excuse me. Right. But having to go through two or three different international check-in, check-outs at airports, and riding a train, going to a train station where a foreign tongue is blaring out of the loudspeaker, and being right. like stressed and terrified, and don't, you know, I'm going to miss my flight, or I'm going to miss mm-hmm. my plane. I have a new respect for, you know, I've kind of been there now where they are, and, right. and the fact that they've come so far to hear the music that many of us just get so used to that we almost ignore.
Yeah,
take it for granted. I'm even more grateful to them than I was before. So that's why when someone's, I guess that's why when someone is knowledgeable and hip, they say that they're well traveled. Because I guess you do. You learn stuff traveling that you have no idea here. I know I didn't know how structured other countries are.
Yeah.
Like Germany, mm-hmm. they're very structured. So at 4 o'clock, we go sit in the blue chair and look at the garden.
Oh, yeah.
You know, not quite that literally.
No, but yeah.
They don't hang loose and let stuff just kind of happen like we do here in the South.
Yeah. That's funny. Our middle son is... was in Italy he was in Sicily for a couple of years, and they have a certain time that they eat, and it lasts like 2 hours sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
He put on so much weight. He's a hockey goalie now, and he could use that weight, but he never had that problem before. But you eat long meals with lots of different, you know, courses, you know, but yeah, it's really different.
You know, he brought a guitar. I was going to grab a break here and see if we can squeeze a tune out of him.
Oh, I want that.
Yeah, you want to do that?
Yeah.
All right, well, let me grab a break. We'll have more here with Mr. Eric Hughes here in the Memphis Music Monday, the debut, the launching of it.
The launching.
Yeah, we broke the cherry. Here we go.
Oh, no. That again. So you going to play something for us?
Yeah, we'll... I wanted to shout out to Mark wherever he's at. Happy Labor Day. And he does, like you guys said, he does so much.
He does so much. He does.
He's like you guys. When do you sleep? You know?
When you're doing what you love and you're constantly amazed that you're being able to do it in the first place.
Yeah.
I think that counts for a lot of
absolutely
sleep, as you probably know.
I think it's that. With me, too. I'm a cancer survivor. I've been alive 14 years since then, and I had it everywhere. So every day that I wake up, I think, I am going to cram this day with as much as I can do and encourage as many folks in doing what they love as I can. And it's pretty selfish, because it's like, it's almost like I think nobody else is going to do all this if I don't do it.
And right.
My husband reminds me, he says, you're not, you know, you can't do all that much. But
you'd be surprised.
But I sure try.
You do a fine job of it.
Just about kill him. So.
What time are you playing down at the Rum Boogie today?
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock tonight.
We'll play 8 to midnight.
Four hours.
Every Monday and every Thursday, 8 to midnight.
Do the whole band, or is it just you solo?
It's the full band.
Oh, the full band. Wow. Oh, look out.
Yep.
Is Leo back up on stage yet? Is he still recouping from?
No, but he's getting there. There was not any progress being made for a while.
Yeah.
His heart was not getting back into rhythm after two or three different kind of procedures. But now he's saying that it's going back in rhythm quite often. And so he's getting...
So
which begs the joke, how does the best bass player in the city have an out-of-rhythm heart?
Exactly.
You know?
It's like, what rhythm is it at? We'll just play at that rhythm. Well, like that.
You know. He's the pocket man. We'll just put it in there.
Just take a jazz turn.
Well, I'm glad he's doing better. So.
I am too.
I remember him from the old days with the family motorcycle club. I used to hang out with those characters. Don't tell him that. He used to be, oh my goodness. He was something else. But yeah, and Leo Cycle Shop. He's a great bass guitar player, though. Great guy, too.
He is. Judge Booker's been doing an incredible job filling in for him.
Yeah, just don't watch him play if you're trying to follow him along.
I know it. It's
he plays left-handed with an upside-down strung bass.
He does.
Yes. And it's kind of strange.
And I told you the story of why he does that. He had polio when he was a child. He was my first bass guitar player with Mother Lode. He was awesome. But he would sit down on the floor underneath, I think it was his uncle who would play. So he would look at it upside down. And he learned it upside down from watching him play. So, but
that's amazing.
He's a sweetheart.
He's a great guy.
I love you, Judge. I had him on my TV show when he won like 6 awards in like a month. It's like, are there any more awards out there? He's crazy good.
He's incredible.
He is. He's got a cute lady too, Sequoia. She's awesome.
Well, how about a tune there, Mr. Hughes?
Yeah,
I'll do that that song we were talking about so much, the Meet Me in Memphis song.
Oh yeah.
Because I had had both my guitars stolen about a year and a half ago.
Oh yeah.
And I was so mad and so down and so negative and so full of venom that I couldn't stand it anymore. So I thought, well, I'm going to write a song to remind myself why I like this place. And it's served to remind a lot of people why they like this place, and to also beckon other people to, hey, you know, come to Memphis, come hang out. So this is Meet Me in Memphis. You've been away for so long, and the city calls you like a distant song. It's high time you took off dancing. I know you miss the sweet tea and the barbecue. Have you forgotten how it feels to party down on Beale? Meet me in Memphis. You ought to make the trip. Meet me in Memphis. We'll stick our toes in the Mississippi. Meet me in Memphis, where the blues are still hip. Meet me in Memphis. Meet me in Memphis. To feel the cool of the early morn, to hum a tune in the land where soul was born. fish are biting under the bridge. We got pig in the smoker, got cold beer in the fridge. It's paradise, it's true. What's missing here is you. Meet me in Memphis. Y'all don't make the trip. Meet me in Memphis. We'll stick our toes in the Mississippi. Meet me in Memphis. Where the blues are still hip. Meet me in Memphis. Meet me in Memphis. Standing by the riverside, watch the sunset. If there's a better town, I ain't been there yet. No matter where you roam, and no matter where you're from, when you're in Memphis, it always seems like home. Meet me in Memphis. Y'all don't make the trip. Meet me in Memphis. We'll stick our toes in the Mississippi. Meet me in Memphis. Where the blues are still hip. Meet me in Memphis. Meet me in Memphis. If you hear me breathe a heavy sigh, if you see a teardrop falling from my eye, it's just the blues who got me down. It's just because I sure do miss that town. If we leave here right away, we can make it there today. Meet me in Memphis. Y'all don't make the trip. Meet me in Memphis. We'll stick our toes in the Mississippi. Meet me in Memphis. Where the blues are still hip. Meet me in Memphis. Meet me in Memphis.
Wow.
How about that?
Yeah.
Isn't that nice?
That was awesome. Yeah.
You ought to hear Barbara Blue do it. She put it on her her new album.
Did she really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Aww. Yeah, real cool version.
How neat.
We just need to get the city of Memphis to embrace it and use it in their campaign, you know?
You know, I'm not a hip-hop artist, so they're not going
to... Well, there's that. You know.
Don't have any, there's no reference to...
I got you.
Well, that's a great song.
It's way too positive, apparently.
It is. It makes me glad I'm here.
Well, me too. It's a perfect commercial for Memphis.
It is.
But, you know, it's up to other people.
Yeah. I guess the heartbreak of that guitar really...
I got them both back.
Yeah, I got them both back. Yeah.
MPD got them back for me.
Great.
The news, thanks to... It was on all the news channels and... MPD pawn shop detail got it. This criminal mastermind decided to pawn them. And, you know, nowadays, you can't pawn anything without a thumbprint, photo ID.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, the pawn shop has to send all their transactions to Memphis police.
Mm-hmm.
And there's detectives working just on strictly on pawn shop detail. So if you get something stolen, the best you can hope for is that somebody will try to pawn it.
You know, when we first opened our recording studio, we had just gotten it all put together, and someone broke in and stole guitars, stole equipment, and what they couldn't carry out, they were there, they thought, 9 or 10 hours. They broke the buttons off of, they peed on stuff, they...
That's a bit extreme.
Well, it wasn't anybody.
Well, I can't steal it, so I'll just take a leak on it.
Right.
Was it just like a pack of wild dogs roaming in there?
But they got... the DNA from that, and then they got cut going through an upstairs window at Cooper Walker Place.
Oh, yeah.
So there was blood, and so they had fingerprints.
Criminal mastermind.
And the police officer who came and took the report had gone to that church when he was a kid, and he said, we will find them. They found them, two or three days, something like that. And when they found them, they had done that to, like, 5 or 6 band rooms. They'd stolen all the equipment, so they found all kinds of stuff that had been stolen. And it was somebody who had come to us and wanted to record and didn't have any money, and I said, we'll do it for you for free. And then he did that. It was like...
subhuman.
No good deed goes unpunished, you know.
Is that crazy? So You know, animal. Sometimes we were bitter. I understand that.
Yeah.
You know, we were bitter for a while.
Yeah, when that happened to your guitars, and when they caught the guys, because they did get them, didn't they?
Yeah.
And I asked you, I said, what's the deal? And you said, I'm going to go bail him out.
Well, you found out I was trying to bail him out, so he pled guilty.
Uh-huh.
You were going to...
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Okay. You don't steal a working man's tools like that.
You're just... so cool. You rock.
We're just going to go fishing.
But he was going to fall in. No. Anyway, he was going to be bait.
You pled guilty, and now he's a service of the... Right.
There's good stories, man, behind most every song.
Oh, my goodness.
They took the guitars out of the cases, and they hawked them without the cases, and then they found the cases later, didn't they? And they had your name in them.
Yeah.
And these guys, like I said, brilliant.
A lot of these thieves, man, they're just dumb.
Out of here. Oh, my goodness. Well, something really wonderful came out of it, because that cool song.
It's an awesome tune.
It is. That's a great...
Well, thank you.
Great way to turn something around and get some negativity and turn it into positivity. I really think we ought to do something to get that song to be Memphis's song.
Good luck with
Who
that.
Who can I call? Jimmy Ogle.
Kevin Kane.
Kane, okay.
You know, we've been existing on the air here selling this city for the past 7 years, and Kevin Kane won't even wave at us.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, gonna call you, Kevin.
He knows me.
I know.
He's got more of my business cards than I do.
Yep. Yeah. We used to do the hockey newspaper for when it was at the Coliseum.
Yeah.
So he's heard from us.
Oh, yeah. He's gonna hear more from us.
He probably has us on speed dial.
Are you you still writing? Are you getting ready to come up with a new record? You planning that one out?
I am planning that one out. Writing. Seems like every record there are more songs that I have to choose from.
That's good.
It's good, but it's one of the hard parts.
It's like, I really like this song, but I don't.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Do you do a theme, like when you do a CD, or is it just a mixture of everything?
It's usually the best of the most recent songs that I've done.
You know, there really are people that have a theme. It's like...
Well, yeah, sometimes it works.
Oh, my goodness, you know. You'd have to have a lot of songs that were somehow similar. I don't know.
Yeah.
Mine are kind of all over the place. So
even songs that don't have a particular theme, like Bob Dylan's Blood on the Tracks, although the songs are quite different, one from another subject matter, they all have the same color.
Right.
As far as the production, you can tell they're all were recorded at the same place or with the same tint or the same flavor, and that pulls that can serve to pull together a collection of really varied songs.
Right.
When it's well produced and well engineered.
So you're also spending some time now, aren't you, giving lessons to people in
very few
guitar and harmonica and things like that?
I'm surprised how many people will come and do one or two lessons and then not do anything with it.
Maybe because they can't play as well as you do.
What I mean is I don't know it. Most people don't understand how much it's going to demand, time wise and effort wise. And part of our job is to make it look like it's just so easy and fun. And we're smiling when we do it, so it must be easy and fun.
Right.
And the repetition and the nose to the grindstone and the practicing, it's none of that's fun.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's why, but. And maybe I'm just an awful teacher. Like I said, I already don't know how to read and write music, but I can show people what I do and how I do it.
Right.
But most people, it's it's a hobby that is not, that I don't stick with, you know.
Right. I know Doc got me a set of harmonicas. I spent a lot of money. And there's something about, I don't know if you have to toughen up your lips or what it is, but it was not like I thought it was going to be. I've seen so many people just pick it up and it was like, blah, blah, you know, but it is difficult.
It's also the beginning of a financial disaster because, you know.
it's a habit.
So you don't want lessons.
Harmonicas, are, you know, a $60 harmonica lasts me about 3 or 4 months, and I have to carry one of each key plus a backup.
Right.
And, that can become really, really expensive.
I think I saw Neil Young on a video where he opens his coat and he has, like, all on the inside, all these harmonicas. And
he got like $1,000 of harmonicas on him, yeah.
And the coat is sagging in the front and up in the back. And I thought, okay, how many pounds more do you weigh? I'm walking through the airport in that. But, yeah, I'm sure it is difficult. Doc just started learning to play bass and... he's been working at it a lot, and it's not as easy as you think. Bass is going to be easier, at least I did, than guitar, but it's.
you're looking. Well, there's two less strings on this thing.
And you don't have to play every note, you know.
The bass is holding the whole thing together.
I know. It's in the pocket. You know, I know. Yeah.
It's difficult. That's cool to hear, man.
I love it.
He does love it. First, I said, you got to learn just some little song. He'd been working one day, and he learns Fever, which is all bass, you know. Yeah. That's the whole thing about the song Fever, so I was really impressed. But he's enjoying it. I wish I could play something other than the drums, because then I could appear solo and keep all the tips, which I don't have to split up with my
You don't have to whack it up with anybody. Right.
In my band. Right. I had to play with Wesley's Friday night and didn't have a guitar player for the first time ever. And I used tracks. I was so nervous. I felt like a poser because there was no live musician with me. You could hear the horns in the back. It's pretty cheesy. But I know that you perform live. And when you perform solo, you play guitar and harmonica and... you were telling me when you played with Guy, you played all kinds of percussion.
Well, you got a kick drum and a kick snare, and you got all.
Yeah, when I do solo, I play a kick drum with my left foot and a hi hat with my right foot.
Really?
Yeah, that
it's
all
like
just
a one man band.
Well, that all just started because I used to tap my foot on the microphone stand bass, and it would make this deep sound. I thought, well, heck, man, Brad Webb was doing it. Richard Johnston was doing it. And I thought, this is a good way to make a bigger sound.
Mm-hmm. I do the foot tambourine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because my foot's always, it's going right now. It's always going, so.
It helps a lot.
Yeah, that was the hardest thing in the beginning was to learn to different beats with each hand and then a different beat with a foot and sing. But then once you start doing it, then you get it. But that was like the hardest thing. Was it hard for you when you first started playing guitar and trying to sing at the same time?
Oh, yeah.
It's like I wanna stop for the phrase, especially in blues songs, and you can't stop the beat. You got to keep it going. So it's definitely a little more difficult. When you first started liking music, were you like a kid? And was there anybody in particular that got your interest? And
I didn't start playing until I was 21. But when I was a teenager, and I would listen to like the Doors, the Stones, the Grateful Dead, and Led Zeppelin, and I would notice. Back when you'd look at the album, you could actually read stuff about,
the good old days.
And it would say, you know, C. Burnett, Chester Burnett. And all these songs like Willie Dixon, Chester Burnett, and Robert Johnson. I was like, well, you know, Led Zeppelin, all these Robert Johnson, Howlin' Wolf songs. And so I would kind of backtrack to see, you know, I would start listening. That would be my gateway into Howlin' Wolf or Robert Johnson. And then as I got more into them, I would think, well, who taught these guys? Who were, you know, who were these guys' influences? And you go back further into like Son House and Willie Brown, those kind of guys. And then you go back even further, and back when Beale Street was like banjos and fiddles and orchestras and jug bands. And so the further back you dig, the more fascinating it gets. And the broader a foundation and a base you have to build your own thing off of.
Figure like a family tree.
Yeah.
Figure out how everything's all connected. Mm-hmm. How cool. So you're like a music historian.
Sort of. I mean, I
Some people don't go to all that trouble. I know you don't believe that, but
I do a history tour several times a week. I do a downtown walking history tour, and then I do a Beale Street history tour, in addition to the backbeat tours in the daytime. Wow. And so, like we were saying earlier, it does provide more of a connection in the song when you know who wrote it and why and when. I was listening to a guy out of North Carolina doing a song, and I said, is he saying Jim Canaan's? He kept saying, I wish I was back at old Jim Canaan's. And I was like, Jim Canaan, that was like a Memphis underworld boss that ran Beale Street in the 20s. He was he owned the Monarch, which is where the police substation is now on Beale. Uh-huh. It was, the Monarch was notorious, dangerous, rough joint. But you know, it's a cool little song. But the connection and knowing what it was about and where it was written, what you know, becomes more interesting.
Was it always blues that you love? Was that
I like rock and roll.
I mean, once you started playing, was it?
It was. When I first started playing, I was so desperate to play with people and learn from them that I played. I was in a punk rock band when I was 23 in Little Rock,
and then I
started tuning my guitar and learning chords, and they were like, "Mm-mm,
can't have that. You're out. Don't be tuning nothing in here, man."
And which is fine with me, but performing, writing, and it's always been either blues or extremely blues-based, rootsy stuff.
Right. That just is what appeals to you the most, is that blues sound.
Yeah, it just seems to be where I always end up.
You know, I didn't really sing the blues until not that long ago, and one day I had Mudbone on a radio show, and he was talking about there being so many different kinds of blues. There's Chicago blues, there's the Memphis, there's this blues. And I said, get out of here, because I didn't really realize that there's so many different sounds for the blues. Mm-hmm. And he was explaining that to me. And also, it was the first time I'd ever heard that that's where everything began, was with the blues. And it made sense to me, but, you know, and then now that I know that, it's like I can hear that in almost everything, you know.
Yeah.
But the last time I checked, there was 160-something genres that you can choose, and it's probably a lot more than that by now, you know, but 160-something genres that you can call your music, you know. And it's like, really, it's, you know, basically just connected to just a few different root musics that have been around forever, you know.
Yeah, that's and like I said earlier, the blues is being defined more every year. To the dismay and chagrin of some people, and to the delight of others.
What about you?
I'm both. I feel I sometimes think, oh man, that's not or whatever.
Yeah, that's me.
But then, on the other hand, what are you going to do, a 12-bar shuffle in the key of A, just like everyone else has done, and just take your own words and kind of cut and paste them in there? How exciting is that?
Right.
So, you know, the blues is kind of defiantly continued to evolve and morph and grow with society.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, good and bad, I guess.
Yeah, me too. I kind of think so. So I know you said you were going to go on tour next year, planning on in 2019, going to those great countries.
Fall of 2019.
Uh-huh. Do you see yourself any place doing anything different with your career down the road, or just going to keep on getting out there and playing like you are all the time? You're going to get tired one of these days.
Oh, yeah, I do.
I know I'm a lot older than you are, and I'm really tired. And I...
Oh, please. Take a nap.
I get extremely tired. I'll do a tour, a bus tour or a walking tour in the day, and then a show at night, or I'll show up and play when I'm sick or when I'm tired.
The show must go on. That's right.
But when I step on the stage, all that
goes away.
I mean, it doesn't go away for me, but it goes away for the audience. Nobody's ever going to see that I'm tired or sick or hurting or whatever. I love what I do, and I love where I am. I mean, I'll travel and tour some, but everybody ends up coming here. So I don't need to go spend all my money on gas and hotels and live in a van, ride 20 hours in a van. Does not appeal to me.
No, it doesn't to me either. Not now. Yeah, years ago. But.
Well, and Memphis is going through its new renaissance right now. There's a lot of talk out there nationwide.
Please say that again. That's awesome.
And, well, it's true. I mean, everywhere you turn, people are talking about. And I hate this one thing. There's an article that keeps coming up that says, "Oh, Memphis is going to be the new Austin." No, we don't want that.
Mm-hmm. We don't want to be Austin. We want to be
Memphis. We want to Memphis. Right. And we're growing.
Very, very cool in its Austin way. And we couldn't do that.
No.
And they couldn't do what we have here.
It's, right.
But I see what they're saying. You know,
sure. We're poised to do pretty well.
Mecca of local independent music.
Well, we got new hotels coming in. There's new venues that are on the way. You know, there's all sorts of cool things that are happening here. So Eric is right. There's a lot of people. The tourism is growing here. And it's not just Graceland, you know.
No.
Elvis has been dead for a while now.
But that $45 million complex did help.
Well, it didn't hurt, no. Yeah.
And then the new...
But while they're here,
you can check out some more stuff.
Go out and find where guys like Eric are playing.
Right.
Just that simple.
Absolutely. What's the best way, you think, for people who are here to even know what's out there? Because that's one of the things I used to notice at Graceland. They'd go, "What else is going on tonight? And where can we go see you? And where can we?" Because they get here and they're here for Graceland, and where would they go to know how to find? Because they may not know. God forbid they could be from Ethiopia or somewhere and not know who Eric Hughes is. But they'd have to be somewhere far away, living under a rock. No.
Downtown. Midtown, downtown, the point is not completely where to go, but to go.
Right.
If you will actually go and leave the house,
you'll find something.
But if you sit at home wondering,
I don't know what to do.
No one's told me, no one's put a map in front of me and told me where I'm supposed to go.
Just go.
Just go, and you'll find some place. If you like that there, you don't like it, go somewhere else.
Yeah.
But go is the opposite, the operative word, go.
Well, that's like if they say, if people in Memphis say, "What's going on?" One thing Mary
Well, there's nothing
says,
going on in this town.
Yeah,
oh, like, shut up.
You know, look at our website. No, there's lots of things going on. But I guess I'm more thinking about people who are in from out of town. I wish there was, and maybe there is, and I don't know it, like something with our tourist bureau where you can go on and you can see all the things that are going on and have a current calendar. But normally it's under each bar. No, I know.
I'm not going to say anything.
Hint.
No, but there's places you can go. I mean, the Memphis Flyer puts out a calendar every week.
Flyer is probably the best thing there is.
And that's online. You can look at that from Germany if you needed to, you know?
Yeah. I like that it's online now, so it's easier.
Yeah,
it
is cool.
Yeah, because sometimes we used to go all over town trying to find a flyer, you know, near the end of the week because everybody's grabbed them up. So, But it's cool when they're here if they know where you are so they can find you, and there is so much good music.
Well, we're telling them now, tonight, 8 o'clock, Rum Boogie.
Yeah, absolutely. Man.
Absolutely. 8 to midnight?
8 to midnight. We we have a ball.
It's a full band tonight. There'll
full
be a lot
band.
Of, yeah.
You know, the market's always changing and morphing, and we've just figured out how to survive on Beale Street and how to profit and prosper. And a lot of that is merchandise. Make your own money.
Absolutely.
You don't holler about the club not, you know, giving you $1 million. You can make your own money.
That's right.
Are you still selling the sculptures that you do, those folks?
Yeah,
sculptures?
art boxes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, those things are awesome. Have you seen them?
No.
So busy.
What do you mean no?
No. I've had an art gallery for 23 years and I didn't know that.
Well, it's
where do
it's
I find
not,
these?
When I see a chest of drawers on the side of the road, I'll take the drawer uh-huh, out, and if uh-huh. it's made of actual wood, I'll paint it and put stuff that mostly would be thrown away, like blown out harps and
I saw one
empty liquor bottles and
your page.
Yeah.
But I didn't know you had done it.
Yeah, he makes those. Yeah,
okay. Do them, and you know, just a lot of stuff like guitar slides and old harps that have blown out, little pictures of blues guys and stuff
Hell
like that.
Neat. Well, I used to do almost the same thing with drawers and cigar boxes, but they were altars, and you would have these and bottle caps and little lights and things. But it's same principle, but you do it with musician things. That's cool.
Yeah, blues stuff, you know.
Do you ever do any old guitars and cover them with anything? I used to do that.
No, I haven't. Usually if it's an old guitar, I'll try to figure out some way to play it.
To play, bring it back to life. Yeah.
But if it's old bad wall hanger, I've seen where a lot of people do some cool
and
stuff.
With a glue gun and an old guitar, man.
The group here that puts the musical instruments in the public schools, I can't remember the name of it, but they used to have old broken guitars and things that kids had destroyed or had come apart, and there was no way to salvage them. But we've done lots of cool things with those.
That's
you know, they're just harder to come by. He bought a couple of violas, wasn't it, just the other day for $30. They were gorgeous. We find things at garage sales you just would not believe, musical instruments, and you know, but you don't want to mess up anything that still is playable.
Still usable, yeah.
Right.
No,
yeah.
Of course not. But, well, I'm going to check out your art. Do you have a page with your art on it? Or
there is, it's on the website. It's on erichughesband.com.
All righty. Well, I'm going to check that out when I get home.
Cool.
And y'all look that up if you're looking for art, so you can actually sell pieces on there.
See there? Got to make your own money.
Yeah.
Yep.
Sell your art. That's how it works.
That sounds cool. And I'm so glad I got to see you play live because I haven't done that yet. As many times as I've watched your videos,
I had fun.
Now I'm going to come tonight and see.
You need to. You need to go down there tonight.
Yeah.
We're down there all the time.
I love
it. We enjoy doing the weekdays a lot. We're saying the Monday is the new Saturday. Down there.
Really?
Which it was, you know, nice of them to say. But
well, you probably have a big following. I know everybody knows. People always talk about you being like the best in the blues and stuff. And you have a lot of people that love how you sound. And I can tell you love it by the way you play. That song that you did, you know, it moved me. I'm glad I'm in Memphis now. I was a little mad at Memphis this morning, so...
Were you a little depressed about it there, Donna? What the hell? You going to pick up
no,
and move to what, Blindfold? You know?
I was excited about Radio Memphis, so I was okay today.
Well.
Yeah, well, cool. Well, we're all going to be looking forward to seeing you play. And I'm going to try to get Doc. He's been a little under the weather, so he's been out of rhythm for like 5 weeks now. It's the longest he's ever been out of rhythm, so he's struggling a little bit, but I sure would love to go see you play. I'm going to start watching for where you are and try to come see you play
soon.
That'd
be great.
And people check out his website, too, to find out what all's going on and where you're playing. And go see you tonight at Rum Boogie. And what's your next big gig out of Rum Boogie, other than Rum Boogie?
We've got a Rail Garden, Lafayette's.
I love Rail Garden.
Hard Rock are our next off-Beale.
Neat.
So if you have Brookhaven Pub and Blue Monkey as well.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, keep up to date on the social media. Yeah, they're really
absolutely
good about posting on there, yeah.
That's great. Well, you can find Eric Play anyway, anywhere. And also that new Meet Me in Memphis.
Yeah.
They can get that. And if they go and see you play, they can get all six of your CDs.
That's right. The box set.
Just
get the box
not
set.
Get the steak.
And yeah, that's right.
Get the six CDs. Sounds like a good way to start.
So there you go. Well, Donna, what did you think of how this came out together?
It was great.
Is this going to work for you? Is this comfortable for you?
I was nervous. I texted my friend Wade. I said, I am so nervous because I don't know Eric Hughes. I know who he is.
Wade was in the chat room. He said, tie Donna's hands and she can't talk.
I hate you, Wade. And I was going to talk about what a great guitar player you are, but you just blew that.
You just blew that there, Wade. It's funny.
But anyway, so I was nervous because usually whoever I have on, I know already.
Yeah.
But it's been great.
Who do we have next week?
It's on the Bad Penny. Oh, Tony Maynard.
Tony Maynard
Tony
is coming.
Maynard.
Oh, awesome.
I love Tony.
Yeah, Tony's awesome. Yeah. That'll be good.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got Tony Maynard. And
very
I think
cool.
Lorena McMahon is maybe the next week. I don't know. You can go to www.badpennypromotions.net and you can find out who's on. And
just like that.
Yeah. And we have a lot of people that are playing. You can look at the schedule of the shows.
Cool.
But and go check out Eric Hughes. Thank you for being our first guest.
Sure,
awesome.
I enjoyed it. It was an honor, and I had fun.
And another hat wearer.
That's right.
Even though I didn't have mine on, I have it with me.
You don't wear headphones, so you can have them on.
I know. See, I could never wear a hat with Mary Beth. I love you, Mary Beth, but now I can wear a hat. But that was cool. And thank you for letting me do this. I had fun.
Good. That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Number one rule here is have fun. Number two is don't F up.
Okay,
yeah.
I won't F up.
There you go.
And I won't come in drunk.
Oh, no, you need to come in drunk. I mean, that's
okay.
The way to do it. Yeah.
Okay.
Hell, there's probably a beer in the fridge right now. Left
is
over.
There really?
There might be. I don't know. Eric, thank you, my friend.
Man, it was good to see you.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
I always have fun here. And I appreciate you having me on the first episode.
I wanted somebody great.
No, you got it.
Well, they couldn't make it, so you got me.
Elvis was gone, so he had left the building.
Memphis Music Monday here in the Nooner. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, and be back next Monday.
Absolutely.
Same time.
There we go. We'll just
same
keep doing
station.
It. Right here at Radio Memphis.
Sounds good.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, guys.